When someone else makes a mistake, when they fall short of expectations, our natural reaction is to criticise them or perhaps punish them, ostracise them. But consider this, what if our first reaction was to compensate for them, to make up for their shortcomings with our natural gifts and abilities? How different would this world be if we all did that? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take another look at this whole idea of blessing from a different perspective. People's mistakes can be so annoying, especially, let me say, when they make the same mistake over and over and over again, which, of course, we all do. Now, you might protest and say, I don't make the same mistake over and over again. And my response to you would be, sure you do. We all do. Here's why. There are some things that you're naturally good at and some things that you're not. And there are some things that the next guy is naturally good at and some things that he isn't. So there you are, the two of you good at different things and bad at different things. So you see the mistakes that he makes at the things that you're good at and you say to yourself, how can that guy keep making the same mistake? It's so obvious. And right while you're thinking that, he's thinking exactly the same about you. My friend Keith is a great encourager, the sort of person you really enjoy spending an hour or two with over lunch. You come away feeling so much better about yourself. He recently sent me a document that we've both been working on. It was an 18-page contract that I developed meticulously with some lawyers. While I was away on holidays, he needed to make a few changes. But did he turn on the word processor's change control feature so that I could see the changes he'd made? No. Now, I was about to get annoyed, and then I remembered, hang on, whoa. This is Keith. We're talking about Keith here. He's a great encourager. But when it comes to technology and admin and all that stuff, he's a dead loss. It's the way he is, and he's never going to be any different. Now, I can't do what he does, and he can't do what I do. And that's the way, folks, it was always meant to be. And so I'm at that point confronted with exactly the same question that I hit you with at the top of the program. Am I going to criticize him or am I going to help him? Which will it be? See, this is a question that confronts each one of us at least several times a day. Think of the people you've been annoyed with over the last 24 hours. What was the source of the annoyance? How did you respond? Did you criticize them or did you help them? The series of messages we're in right at the moment is called Are You Being a Blessing or a Burden? Inspired by a great quote from Dr. Teo Adeyemi in the UK. He said, you are either a blessing or a burden, an asset or a liability, a problem solver or a problem. It's your choice. And so we're on a bit of a journey to discover some practical rubber hits the road kind of things that you and I can do to be more of a blessing than a burden, to be more of a part of the solution than part of the problem. And this is really a practical thing that we can do. When someone makes a mistake, we can stuff our pride back into our pocket and choose to help them instead of criticize them. And when you think about it, as much as it may be a counterintuitive thing to do, it actually makes an enormous amount of sense, both for them and for us. I'm going to read you a short passage from the Old Testament, a book written about 3,000 years ago called the Book of Ecclesiastes. It's purported to have been written by one of the wisest men who's ever lived, King Solomon of Israel. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. It says, look, two people are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. See, if they fall, one will lift the other up. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and doesn't have another to help. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. Actually, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I was sharing this with a bunch of people once, and I did it visually. I had two people hold a single piece of rope tight, and then I cut it in the middle. Well, of course, at that point, the rope failed. Then we took two ropes and wound them around each other and around and around and around, and I got the people to hold them again tight, and I cut one rope on the right, and I cut the other rope in the middle, and I cut the first rope on the left. See, the ropes pretty much hung together because what happened was that the second rope compensated for the first in the places where it was cut and had failed, and vice versa. Then we took three ropes and plaited them together as a woman would plait her hair. I got the people to hold this thing tight. I cut each of the three ropes in two different places. And you know what? You'd pull as hard as you like, and the ropes didn't fail. I could actually sit on them, and they wouldn't come apart. That's the picture here. You and I have the capacity to compensate for the failures and the weaknesses of others. And because we're all different, we're all strong in different places and we're all weak in different places, when we're bound together in a relationship as a team, we can compensate for one another in those different places just as the ropes did. I cleaned up the mess with the contract that Keith couldn't. And you know what? He goes out and encourages members of our team in a way I couldn't do. And you know something? That's how it's meant to be. It's exactly how it's meant to work. The beauty of that, the reason that it makes so much sense, is that together in a mutually supportive relationship, in a team of two or three or four or even 10 people, we can achieve so much more. Now, some teams don't achieve anything because they're always fighting and criticizing, and you did this, no. If we want to be a blessing rather than a burden, an asset rather than a liability, a part of the solution rather than the problem, there are two parts to this. The first is bringing all our skills and abilities to the table with energy and gusto and dedication and hard work. That's the first part. The second part is having the wisdom and the humility to use those skills, to use those abilities, to compensate for the weaknesses of others. If we each have that level of wisdom and maturity, then our team, our relationship, I tell you, it's going to be completely unstoppable. A team with people in it who are prepared to compensate for one another is going to achieve some amazing things. Now, serving one another takes humility. A much underrated attribute these days is humility. It's about laying aside what we think we're entitled to and pitching in and serving anyway. Humility is serving people even when in our superior judgment they don't deserve it. Humility is rising above the petty bickering and the point scoring and the recognition and the reward seeking and just getting on to achieve the aim. Humility is shutting our mouths when we feel like complaining, when others around us are behaving like two-year-olds, and by the goodness of our example, by our faithfulness, by our quiet assurance, showing people the way forward. That's humility. It takes a strong and mature and a wise person to live out that sort of humility. The best leaders are the humble ones. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. All of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Hey, that's powerful stuff. We often think when we read things like that in God's word, hey, that one isn't. I know someone that's meant for. You know who it's meant for? It's meant for you and me today. It's meant for us to take to heart. Listen, God opposes the proud. Is it really the way to go, to live our lives in a way that God is always going to oppose us with all his might and all his power? And yet he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's how we become more of a blessing than a burden, more of an asset than a liability, and more of a solution than part of the problem. That's exactly how we do this stuff. Love sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with Jesus. So before we go, I'd like to tell you about a free daily devotional to help you and your friends draw even closer to him. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement. And the best news is that it's completely free, delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word fresh for you each day. To receive your free e-devotional, just jump onto the website freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up waiting right there for you. And as a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head across to that website and sign up to receive Fresh. I pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. That web address, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. I'm Bernie Dimet, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.